Blitz, KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at Jerome Solomon, again today, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it is a What Are the Odds Wednesday, so when you call or text or tweet or angrily respond to Jerome, put odds on it. So, I
there's nothing to be angry about.
I'm just following up on the Keuchel thing, though. I like it better when guys speak their mind, and I can disagree with what he said, but I like that he said it. And I also want to give a little credit to our old colleague Brian McTaggart for asking some really good follow-ups and for getting that in the first place. And, I mean, Brian just does a fantastic job on the Astros. So, if you're not following him, you should be. But, some fun McTaggart stories from our days too. One of these days. I just think if
he's one of your karaoke boys too, wasn't he?
Yeah. That's actually how I started doing that again was thanks to him. Somebody says every movie has an element of romance to it. A romantic movie is dependent upon the story that surrounds the romantic story. I guess that's fair. And there's romance in
love
everything.
Love sells.
Sort of. Yeah, you almost have to put it in there, right? But I don't know. You know, falling in love with a robot alien chick, that'd be romantic.
See, that there's a difference between freaky sex and romance.
Maybe it's not freaky. We don't know because it's an alien.
I'm talking to us normal people. That would be a little freaky.
Okay. Well, but if all the parts are the same and the processes are the same, that's not really freaky. It's natural.
It's an alien. The parts are not going to be the same.
You don't know that. When did you become Neil deGrasse Tyson? Suddenly you know everything. Get out of here.
Hey, look, based on the atmospheric pressure of these other galaxies, trust me, aliens will not be human-like. Of course, you believe clowns are going to take over place, so, you know.
Well,
I guess your aliens are going to look.
The clown,
all of them going to look like, you know,
the clown,
Natalie Portman.
The clown war is real. 713-780 ESPN. Obviously, the weather sucks out there, guys, so be careful. Get home safe. What are the odds the Astros pick somebody up off a waiver trade? You think that?
I think that's pretty high because they wanted to do something and they tried to and didn't get it done. There's a good story too. I wanted to make sure I mentioned this. Yeah, on Yahoo today, and the story is about the Dodgers and Rangers trade. So Jeff Passan, PASSAN of Yahoo Sports, and if you Google him or Google, I think the headline, I don't think I can see it here, is Inside the Frenzied 12 Minutes That Led to the Dodgers Deal for Yu Darvish. And he talks about the Dodgers didn't think that they could get you. They thought that the Astros were a better fit, but the Astros and the Rangers never got into a situation where they matched up with what they wanted. And the Rangers called the Dodgers because there were specific players with the Dodgers that the Rangers wanted big time. And they got one of those guys that after they didn't get one that they wanted. They got a 19-year-old pitcher who throws 99 miles an hour in the deal. You know, the Astros weren't offering that. But, and like we talked about in the last couple of days, there are times where a team wants somebody else's players more than they want yours, and maybe want them certainly more than the ones you want to give. And if you want to give me those three, then I will need another one, because I can get three that I like better than your three somewhere else. And that was just the case. And especially for Yu Darvish, who at the end of the year can go wherever he wants, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, want the Astros to blow up for a guy who gave up 10 runs the other day?
Yeah.
Well, that's only going to be here for a couple. He's not Randy Johnson.
No, but I still think that, yeah, I would have
he's
been
not Yu Johnson.
Well, Fred, have you petitioned HBO to get you on Westworld Season 2, Robots Galore? I'd love to have a cameo on Westworld. If R.J. Bell can be on Ballers, I can be on Westworld.
You can be on Westworld.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and, you know, just one scene with one of the robots, I'd be down with that. Because it's a real human
being.
You know,
I have to say, you know those actresses. Right?
They're acting like robots, though, which is kind of sexy. Here's one. What are the odds?
You're that determined. Why don't you just call up and order you one? And then he's like, what do you want me to dress like? A robot.
Exactly. Oh, man. 713-780-ESPN. So what are the odds? Jerome writes a novel, and Fred, is there an update on yours? Have you ever thought about writing some fiction?
I have. I've never had the time to really dive into it, but I have a lot. And I do have a lot of writing. You know, you're a writer too. You've got stuff all over the place and you started things, but I've never sat down and said, I'm going to do this, and gotten it done.
Yeah, I had to get motivated to finish mine, but the update is I'll have some news probably by the end of September. My agent's working every angle right now, and it's close, and it's totally in her hands. And I the best part is I have an agent and a marketing company that believe in the project and love it. And so that I'm just like, okay, you guys take care of it. Just let me know when it's done and it'll be ready. But I would think realistically probably next summer is what we're looking at. What are the odds the clown uprising clashes with the Houston monkey uprising, which clashes with the Facebook AI uprising? See?
Lord.
There you go. Now you're thinking. That's now you're putting together all the potential conspiracies, like the monkeys in Florida that are attacking people. You had the monkey here attacking people. You got clowns running all over the place. You got artificial intelligence creating its own language.
Okay, well, while we're throwing fantasy out, Philadelphia Eagles right tackle Lane Johnson says, if the Eagles win the Super Bowl, he's giving out beer to everybody in the city. You have a better chance of getting beer free off Lane Johnson in Philly than of monkeys and clowns teaming up to start a war with, you know, sane people.
All right. I'm telling you, though, when Judgment Day comes.
Do you move to a place they call the Cuckoo's Nest? That's your new complex.
When Judgment Day comes, right before the monkey eats your face or the clown slices your head off, I want to get an apology text from you.
Oh, see that? I was at Fred's new place. I finally got to go see it. Beautiful spot. Much better than that dump you used to live in. Not the previous one.
Way back when I lived by the old station.
When you were first ejected.
Oh, God, yeah. That one was bad. That was just a crappy place to live.
That little card table. It was so sad.
Yeah, that was. I had a couch and a card table and a TV. That's all I had.
It's like, come over and play poker. I'm like, dude. But anyway, he's got a balcony, a cool balcony, and then his neighbors have a balcony. You're a little tipsy. You were thinking about making the leap from balcony to balcony, and I was
we were joking.
I really
about
wanted
that
to happen.
No, we were joking about it. There's no way in hell. I'm barely comfortable passing beers across there because there's a fence right between it with basically spikes, and if you fall on that,
cancel Christmas.
Yeah, or you know, cancel your mail parts if you land in the wrong place. Let's get on a phone call. Warren, on a What Are the Odds Wednesday. What's up, Warren?
Hey, what's up, guys? Sports.
Sports to you, man.
All right. I have a question, man. I just wanted to know, what would be the odds if all men of color in the NFL would stand with Colin Kaepernick and boycott this year's NFL league play? Would you think that would have a impact on the owners trying to at least, entertain or make change in police brutality and things of that nature?
Oh, that would have a huge effect on it. But the odds of that happening is less than 0.0. And I wouldn't expect them to. It doesn't make any sense, you know. There were quite a few players who took a knee along with Kaepernick last year, and guys who made statements during the national anthem, and, you know, they're not talked about very much at all. Michael Thomas, who's from Houston, played at Stanford, plays for the Dolphins, took a knee all season long. I talked to him regularly. He came on my show, Texas Sports Nation, every Sunday night, 11 o'clock, KPRC. And he got some flack for it the first week, you know, and not much afterward once people realized he knew what he was talking about. He knew why he was doing it, and he was meeting with police groups, and he was doing things in the community. He followed up the silent protest with verbal and physical action in trying to make a difference. And Colin Kaepernick has done that too. People have just chose to ignore it. Not to mention the guy said, it's not like he's taking a knee this season, but he'll be taking a knee at home, watching the game on TV like the rest of us.
Well, and I apparently it was the Ravens owner who blocked them trying to sign him. So
yeah, Ozzie Smith put out a, not Ozzie Smith, Ozzie Newsome put out a release a little later today denying that, calling that a fib. The Ravens are just on a roll. Ozzie's my boy. He's good at what he does, so I'm not saying he's lying, but to even have to come out and say, no, they haven't made a decision on Colin Kaepernick as yet. They're still waiting, so whoever is saying that the owner blocked it is lying to you. It's fake news.
I see.
He didn't say that, but that's what
right.
he meant.
Right. That's everybody's go-to now. Fake news. Hashtag fake news. Well, if he makes the team, he'll probably get cut. But you know how you won't get cut with? A Harry's razor. That's right. Harry's has been a godsend for me. And if you haven't switched over like 3 million guys have, now's the time. Here's why. You never have to go to the store again to buy a razor. You're going to have it sent right to you. You're going to save a bunch of money, and you're going to get a quality shave. And 100% satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. And they're so confident that you're going to love their blades, they're going to give you their set for free. You just cover the shipping. Your free trial set includes an ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. We partner with Harry's to bring you this incredible offer. Just head over to harrys.com/blitz to get it now. Get started with Harry's today and get their free trial offer. That's right, I said free. All you do is cover just a few bucks in shipping. To get your free trial set that includes a handle, blade, shave gel, and travel blade cover, go to harrys.com/blitz. That's harrys.com/blitz. Don't wait. Get started with Harry's today.
The station that brought you Dream Crushers, the pepper spray incident, and male golfer, female golfer food. We celebrate 10 years.
Got it in my mouth.
Thank you, Houston.
Thank you.
ESPN 97.5 is 10. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Holly, who's a huge Eagles fan, says, good thing we're nowhere near a Super Bowl, in response to Lane Johnson. Yeah, I think he's safe on that. Go ahead.
He's taking a risk. That's a lot of beer you got to
buy. Yeah, I'm pretty sure people in Philadelphia will drink it. Pretty sure. Taylor wants to know, odds of Fred falling in love after hooking up with a ghost chick. That's disgusting, Taylor. Ghosts? I don't have anything to do with a ghost. They don't exist. That's not even realistic. Hot alien chicks do exist. Ghosts do not.
That's where you draw the line on reality here.
Exactly. Exactly.
The nerve.
832, speaking of fake news, when are the Hurricanes supposed to come to Houston? What are the odds that actually happens, Mike from Tomball? I'd say it's a pretty low percentage. From what I've been seeing, there was one story that speculated that the guy who had made an offer wanted to move him here. But the reality is, everything I've seen, he doesn't have the financing together, so they're still not sure that that sale's even going to happen. And then the guy who owns him now says he would want to, whoever he sells him to, he wants him to keep him there, but you know how that works.
Aren't they still, you can't do that without Les Alexander? And
well, I think the fact that Les is selling the team.
When the new person comes in, they're thinking that might give him a chance.
Yeah, yeah. And I think most likely you'd probably do a temporary thing with Toyota Center and then look for something that could be more hockey specific. But
see, if I'm the Rockets, particularly considering how expensive NBA tickets are and their attendance has been solid, and very good when the team is good, but I wouldn't welcome in that type of competition, because that's direct competition for the entertainment dollar. And NHL seats are very expensive. NHL suites are very expensive. And I think if there had been an NHL team in Houston for the last 20 years, I think it could have done fine. But if I'm the Rockets, I wouldn't want one to come in and mess up my good thing.
Well, and I think it depends on who winds up buying the Rockets, because it may be somebody who wants them, you know, an ownership interest in a hockey team. I don't think there's as much competition for fans. I think the competition is for corporate dollars.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. So,
and that would be significant. I think the fan bases will be pretty different.
What you trying to say?
Well, just saying that, same thing I've been trying to say is there's a lot of Midwesterners and people who moved down from here that are hockey fans in particular. And I think there's a lot of people here who are just basketball fans who aren't ever going to switch.
Mm-hmm.
So...
That may be true, but if I'm the Rockets, I'm still thinking my numbers, whatever the numbers would be in a regular season that we play when there is no NHL team in town, that number will be less if there is an NHL team in town. And like I said, certainly the challenge of the sales team selling suites is... You know,
well, which is why
that's some hardcore direct competition, because for the corporate dollar, to them it doesn't matter if it's basketball or hockey, and there will be a lot of people who are like, oh wow, hockey, they'll be more excited about that than re-upping with the Rockets again.
Well, and that's where if you have the same ownership group for both teams, then that's where it seems to work the best. And you know, that I think remains to be seen if that actually happens, but. And that's why I think the possibility of another arena down the road, when the Rockets wouldn't have any ability to block anything like that.
Yeah, true. But does Houston need another arena? Will the city fork over the funds for another arena, which would be necessary? And then
I think it depends.
And at this point, too.
See, that gets to where
we're also at this point. You know how they are. What, Toyota Center is what now? Coming about 15?
Yeah.
You know, when they get to 20, they want out.
Yeah.
I mean, or sometimes sooner. I mean, I think Toyota Center is fine. I think it's doing just fine. But the new owner is going to come in and go, man, we could be maybe doing better. So it's not as easy as we would make it seem. But there are owners who own, you know, I mean, the same – I mean,
yeah, like
NBA and NHL teams, you know, so it could be done.
What are the odds Beyonce is part of a group that buys the Rockets?
I'm thinking this is about 75%.
Because who would not want her?
But
as part
that's
of the
what
team?
I'm saying. Because if I'm coming in with $2 billion, I'll say I'll put $2 billion on it. You put five. You put a little. You know, you give me $25 million, I'll get you.
Yeah,
I think they have a rule that you have to have a percentage.
It's 1%, and I think so. Basically, she's going to be talking about $17 million, which I'm pretty sure she can afford.
Oh yeah, No, so. I would want her to be a part of it because it would be worth it to the franchise to have her as a part owner. To go from performing at halftime with Destiny's Child to being an owner, that'd be pretty sweet.
That would be pretty cool. So, yeah, I would – if I were an ownership group, I would – and she wanted in, I would be making sure she got in. That's just – it's just good business because that brings you a lot of attention, and attention's a good thing. I mean, they're in the entertainment business.
Mm-hmm. But see, like doesn't Dolan own both the Knicks and –
The Rangers, right? Yeah. And
but those are long-established teams. I just think with a new team, it'll be,
I'm pretty sure it's the same group that owns the Leafs and the Raptors. Really? No, maybe it's the Leafs and the Jays and somebody else owns the Raptors. But they own two of the three. Terry Pegula owns the Sabres and the Bills. So there is cross-ownership.
And Detroit. But, you know, again, we're talking about one of the original
squads.
So the And not the Pistons, I think. I think the guy that owns the Tigers.
Yeah, he just died this year.
Tigers and Red Wings. He's one of the guys that Jim Crane was like, and I got play money compared to his money. He's got real money. I'm like, okay.
I don't know if this is a serious question from 409. What value does Beyonce bring to the table? Is that a serious question?
You got Google?
Yeah. Just Google. That'll take care of you. That'll answer it for you.
Real easy. What are the odds that 4-9 doesn't have the internet?
Oh, boy. All right. We are going to take a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Jerome Solomon filling in for AJ today. I mentioned Holly's tweet earlier. Today was her update day on HoustonSportsAndStuff.com. If you haven't checked it out, lots of football and lots of hot women. So who doesn't like that? As Granato would say, who doesn't?
Football and hot women.
You're just going to have to read her update on the website.
Tease.
Yeah, there you go. All right, we were talking off air a little bit here about a topic you wanted to get into, so I will let you get into it.
Yeah, no, it's, just announced, Major League Baseball just announced a few minutes ago that, you know, shocking news, Jose Altuve named the American League Player of the Month for July because, well, he was the best player in July, no doubt. Yuli Gurriel selected American League Rookie of the Month, which is interesting because, you know.
He's 75 years old.
Yeah, but it's his first year in the big, so, you know, and he was outstanding in the month of July as well. But Altuve was off the charts, 485 in 99 at-bats during the month, led the league in on-base percentage and hitting and slugging percentage, just over the top and just, you know, he's the best, period. Best second baseman in the game, one of the best players in the sport, serious contender for most valuable player. And I mentioned that the other day on Twitter that, hey, he is simply the best. And someone responded with Hall of Fame. And you guys were talking about it last week, and I was listening, and he's playing like a Hall of Famer, no question about it. But I don't think people really sometimes get a grasp of what you have to do to be a Hall of Famer and what it takes. You know, it's just, it's fascinating. Altuve's been in the league 7 years now, and he has almost 1,200 hits in his 7 years, right? If he plays seven more years and copies exactly what he did, he'll just catch Jeff Bagwell in the number of hits. He'll still be 700 hits behind, or 600 hits or whatever. I don't know what Biggio total has. I know he has over 3,000. He's probably at 3,001. Whatever it is. That's how good you have to be for so long to get to that level. I mean, it's just – it's not – I mean, and obviously everybody knows it's not easy, but it's not as easy as saying, oh, wow, this guy is amazing. He's going to the Hall of Fame. Well – got a long way to go, and he's certainly tracking there, though, that's for sure.
And multiple batting titles, if they were to win a World Series, those are all things that help. Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, when you look at him, to me, you look at J.J. Watt, they still have things to accomplish in their career, but you're seeing Hall of Fame level players, in my opinion, in both those guys.
Yeah, and it's a little different for Watt because of the Defense Player of the Year awards. That really separates you, you know. And he would have to fall off the map it's arguable that even if he fell off over the next few years, that he'd still be a Hall of Famer because people would point to, well, the injury did it. And before the injury, he was one of the all-time greats. He'd still have a really good chance. I mean, you look up the numbers of Terrell Davis and Arian Foster, they're almost identical. And I mean literally identical. One's played 80 games, one played 78. Their rushing yards, their total yards, it's within 50 or something. It's that close. Their touchdowns are tight, like one or two apart. It's pretty amazing. Of course, TD played on a couple of Super Bowl teams and had, you know, impact on a squad, but he was also playing with John Elway. So his career was cut short, but people recognize when he was playing and when he was not injured, he was among the all-time greats. And that's what I think you get with J.J. Watt. I don't think you get that with Altuve. He has to continue this for a long time.
It's probably fair. I think James Harden's already in because everybody gets in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Hell, I hear you're up next year.
Not everybody. Not everybody.
Pretty much everybody.
But you have to. Well, you have to. You do have to accomplish something, though. You've got to have a string of all stars. You have to lead the league in scoring or something. You've got to be pretty special. Did y'all get into the argument where people were giving? Was it McGrady?
Probably.
Last week.
Was it
McGrady?
To me, it might have been McGrady,
but he said, you know, anybody can win a championship, but not everybody can be a Hall of Famer. And I had no problem with that statement because it's pretty true. And you can be on a team and win a championship. That doesn't make you a Hall of Famer, you know. And to be a Hall of Famer, you have to be a lot better basketball player than a whole lot of champions.
Yeah, but the standard's a lot lower in basketball than it is the other sports.
Oh, very true. So, but you still have to be great, though.
You can be very good and get in.
Yeah, it's a lot of there are a lot of people who play basketball, and not a lot of people in the Hall of Fame. So
there's 5 million people in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but
5 million and seven.
Yeah, but there are 5 billion Chinese who play basketball, and only one of them is in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Squeeze in a couple quick calls. Jim, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Yeah, hey, guys. Hey, I just wanted to just kind of weigh in on this quick topic on Jose Altuve. Made no mistake about it. The only thing that's the barrier between him and the Hall of Fame is longevity. This guy's a special player. What he's doing right now in this month of July and what he's done in his career to date is phenomenal. He is Pete Rose with more speed and power. He is a guy who's going to get more batting titles, you know, God willing, and what his trend is showing. So let's not dismiss the greatness of what we're witnessing right now. I mean, I'm 49 years old, lifelong Astros fan, played baseball through high school, moonlighted as a hitting instructor. I watch a lot of baseball. I could sit I know baseball, and I'm an armchair guy that knows enough about baseball to know that this guy's a special player. And people that are casual Astro fans don't really understand how good this guy is. And he's a Hall of Famer. But, yeah, it's a function of longevity right now. That's all that's standing in the way of him and assuming that he's got the, you know, he does what he's been doing. But this guy's special. And we in the city of Houston don't know how good we have with him. He is un-freaking believable.
All right. So thanks, man. Let me jump in here. Thanks. I kind of think that's what we were saying.
Yeah. No question about that. And he has to continue. I mean, the highest he's ever finished in MVP was third, you know, and this year, I assume he'll finish at least third or higher. Well, you know, but Jeff Bagwell won an MVP, finished second another time, finished third another time, was in the top five or six a couple more times. I mean, Jeff Bagwell was a bad man, and Jose Altuve is that too. He just has to be a bad man for another 13
more years.
I think
he gives us five more of these, he'll be in the, but – you know, you got to remember now, if he does five more of these, he's only cracking 2,000 hits, not 3,000. So, there's a lot of baseball, but there's a lot of baseball left in his career. He's a special, special player.
I think the point is, if he were to somehow get injured and never be able to play again, he wouldn't make the Hall of Fame right now.
And he is 27. Yeah. So, I mean.
I think he should be able to play until he's 35, 36 years old. And he's been able to be remarkably healthy too, which is helpful. And if he does that, and
he piles even, up those hits,
and even starting to fade a little bit at the end of his career, I still think he'd get in. Mm-hmm. And I do think though that people should recognize that this is a special player, that you should enjoy him right now. But he's on that path, but there's a long way to go. That's pretty much what we were saying.
Definitely in his favor, though. I mean, like I said, I break down those numbers and tell you that. And Bagwell, remember, you know, Bagwell hurt his shoulder in 2001 and kept on playing and kept on putting up great numbers until that last year when he shouldn't have been out there. But up until then, he kept on his shoulder. He's got his shoulder completely replaced. He's got fake shoulder now, from shoulder to elbow. That's not arm. That's not bone. It's all, you know, man-made material. But Bagwell never had a 200-hit season.
Jose has three.
Altuve racks those suckers up like, you know,
and to
like
put
Fred
things,
does. And, you know.
To put things into perspective, Craig Biggio played 20 years, but through their first 7 years, Altuve has more hits, home runs, RBI, higher batting average, slugging percentage, on-base percentage. So to put those, compare those through the first 7 years.
Yeah, he's ahead of him.
Special, special, special player.
Oh, yeah.
All right, one more. Mike. What's up, Mike?
How are you guys doing today? Hey, I'm not the biggest baseball fan, but I am a big Astros fan. And I watched the All-Star game. I'm glad you're talking about Jose too. I watched the All-Star game with my kids. And then all these announcers kept talking about Aaron Judge, new face of baseball. It got me wondering, Aaron Judge isn't half the baseball player that Jose Altuve is. Is it his name and his language that would prevent Jose Altuve from being the face of baseball?
That's certainly a factor.
He's not a Yankee either.
Yeah, that's a factor, but you also got to remember, too, that he came into the league with a horrible team that's been bad. So, like you say, like John was saying, he's ahead of Jeff Bagwell across the board.
Biggio.
Oh, he's ahead of Bagwell, too. Across the board through this point in his career, but Bagwell had already won an MVP by now. And Altuve couldn't win an MVP his first few years because the team was so bad. And now we should see. But Judge is a special situation because he's so unique and he's different. But yeah.
And he's new. He's the new toy.
If Jose Altuve was, you know, was from Conroe, you know.
And playing for the Yankees.
He'd be a different player.
Yeah, and let's not dismiss that. You know, Yankees,
not
Red Sox.
Player. He'd be perceived as a different player.
Yeah, but I do think the national media, for the most part, loves this guy in terms of how good he is. It's just you're going to get more attention if you play for the Yankees or the Red Sox.
In baseball, that's just the way that it is.
That is the reality.
Well, and Judge is slumping since the All-Star break.
Yeah, and that's saying everybody had given him the the MVP award at the halfway point, and it's like, I think Jose has put himself right back in that conversation.
Have you seen the Photoshop You've seen the photo of Altuve and Judge standing on second base when they played? Well, there's a Photoshop of the, it says the MVP race before the All-Star break, and it's the actual photo, and then afterwards, and Altuve is like 8 inches taller than Ninja, or
no, I haven't
a foot
seen
taller.
That. That's funny.
It's hilarious. He's stretched, and Judge is a lot smaller. Hey, we'll get back. Well, since we're talking about being with the Yankees, we haven't done the that NFLPA report from yesterday with the merchandise sales of NFL players.
Yeah, we could do that. Batman's Ugly Brother says, isn't Altuve technically half the player Judge is? Yeah. Well done. Well done. Unless you ever you can't get a short person joke in. You're not doing your job right.
That's not fair.
Hey, it's not my fault that he's a little person.
Yeah, but you should be looking up to Jose Altuve. That's how you started this conversation.
If I were mini me, I would be looking up to him. Otherwise, all right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Nobody pray for me. It been a day for me.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Download the ESPN 97.5 app, available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device at ESPN975.com. Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis tonight at 7 p.m. All right, let's very quickly do the Zadot Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadot Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, we go to the state of Alabama, and this is one that I'm going to have to visually describe for you.
It is a
license plate that was issued by the state of Alabama, personalized one. It is being withdrawn after a review deemed it offensive to the general public.
Uh-huh.
So the picture is of the back of an SUV with a rebel flag that says Heritage Not Hate.
Of course.
And then
they're just hating some people's heritage.
Well, and then proud parent of an Eagle Scout bumper sticker. But the Heritage Not Hate thing kind of contradicts what's on the license plate, which starts with
Is there an N in there?
No. There is an F. It starts with an F.
Okay.
The second letter is a K. And the last four letters are y'all. Y-A-L-L.
F-K y'all.
Yeah.
F-K y'all.
Yeah. So.
Why was that not acceptable? I mean, you need to buy a vowel to make it scandalous,
I know, but,
right?
Well, you'd have to have a vowel in to make it scandalous, but it's pretty obvious what the hell it means.
You can't take me down for obvious. It has to be legitimate.
No, you can. You can't. How do you... I mean, there's no way to put all
just because it's Alabama doesn't mean the person doesn't know how to spell.
No, I think he thinks that's how it's spelled. Because it's Alabama.
No, I'm sorry. On this one, I know. Because what if his name is, you know, Fred Kirkendall, y'all? So, Fred Kirkendall, y'all, that's who I am. Or it's Alabama. That's who I is. Would that be a problem? You can't put your name on. You can't even reference yourself on your own license plate.
I think most reasonable people, even in Alabama, would think that that meant a different word.
So y'all just going to discriminate against all the Fred Kirkendalls out there?
Well, apparently so.
Man, Fred that, FK that, Fred Kirkendall that. That don't make no sense. That ain't
even
right.
Even if his name were Franklin Under. Never mind. I'm not going to do that. Regardless, that is your Zadok Jewelers.
Yeah, Frank Underwood. That was a pretty good one that I slipped in. I like that one.
That is your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
I know you wanted to get into the merchandising a little bit.
Yeah. Did you see the list?
I did see the list.
We'll start with the Texans, for those of you out there. It's a list of the top 50 player sales report from March 1st through May 31st. I always find these interesting because it kind of tells you where fans are leaning and you try to pick out reasons as to why this jersey sales go the way that they go. But the Dallas Cowboys are just always the best of the best. I mean, number 2 on the list, number 3 on the list, number 6 on the list, number 10 on the list are all Dallas Cowboys. And you can say, oh, well, you know, the rookies, Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott, they're rookies, so people don't have their jerseys. So they bought a lot of them up. Well, they were buying them during the season and after the season still. But, I mean, Dez Bryant's been on the team a long time. People that won his jersey have already had it. Jason Witten's been on the team since forever, since Roger Staubach was on the team. So people who want a Witten jersey, you would think they would already have it. It's not that. It's that the Cowboys are just that popular. The other surprise, that's not a surprise, the surprise appearance on the top 10, I think Marshawn Lynch at number 4. He's a Raider, and he just signed with the team.
Yeah, but the Raiders have that kind of cachet too, mm-hmm. especially coming off a good year. And Lynch was already popular from the Seahawks. That does not surprise me.
Yeah,
at all.
Derek Carr at 11, Khalil Mack at 14. And you have to.
There's
no question that Tom Brady is number one. I didn't even have to waste.
But if the Raiders have another year like they did last year, I guarantee you, and Mack both will be in the top 10.
Guess another Raider who's ahead of J.J. Watt on the list. Amari Cooper is even ahead of J.J. Watt on this list.
Doesn't surprise me.
You know, J.J. is all the way down to 19. No D-Hop, no DeAndre Hopkins in here for the Texans. The next Texan on the list, I wonder if people would be able to guess this without seeing the list, but it's a guy who's yet to take a snap for the Texans. Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Made the list.
That doesn't surprise me.
He's a rookie.
National champion.
Where's Tom Savage? Deshaun Watson's at 28.
But no, that makes perfect sense. I mean, not just that he's a rookie, but he won a national championship. So he's got a national following already. So it doesn't surprise me that he's in there.
Some of the quarterbacks he's ahead of. Drew Brees at 32. Eli Manning at 36. Mr. Controversy, Colin Kaepernick at 39. Clearly, people are not interested in Colin Kaepernick anywhere. And Kirk Cousins made the top 50. Go on with your bad self, Kirk. Alshon Jeffrey of
the
Eagles.
You like that?
Alshon Jeffrey of the Eagles in at 50. Wow.
Interesting.
The Texans are just not a national brand. You know?
Well, and that's the thing. Neither were the Seahawks until they won a Super Bowl and then were consistently good. So
Russell Wilson at 5.
Richard Sherman's got to be up there.
Sherman at 20. Doug Baldwin at 31. Tyler Lockett at 34.
Baldwin and Lockett, really?
Chancellor at 41. Yeah.
What about Earl Thomas?
No, nope, Earl Thomas.
It's interesting.
He was injured.
Yeah. I mean, JJ was injured last year too, so.
Well, and I think that impacted a little bit, certainly.
Mm-hmm. And then I saw I'd have to look up and see if I can find the number, but the Seahawks with Cam Chancellor getting his new contract the other day. Now they have the most guaranteed money in the secondary of any team in the league.
Well, it makes sense. That's the strength of their team.
Yeah, and it's an interesting way to go, and in a passing league, and you know, a group that sets the tone for that team. Nothing wrong with that at all. And they've drafted well, and they found those guys, you know, guys like Richard Sherman in the 5th round when the Texans drafted 2 or 3 cornerbacks that year, and missed out on that. Even though the Seahawks drafted another quarterback before him too, I believe. But yeah, I mean, and that's what are they, don't they have a nickname?
Legion of Boom.
Legion of Boom. Legion of Boom or something. Yeah, that's nice. Texans, they're not. What is Texas Legion of what?
What was it? What was
Legion
it?
Of Gloom?
What was the nickname that
Bulls on Parade?
Bulls on Charade is what I was calling. So, but all right, guys, I got to tell you about Texas Mattress Makers, and how about getting the best possible quality mattress? How about getting it custom fitted? How about sleeping cool in these hot, hot Houston nights? Well, Texas Mattress Makers has you covered. And how about this? If you're hot, the Paris and London beds are for you. Cooler, eco-friendly. They start as low as $788. And how about this? Huge savings on children's and guest beds. Quality twin sets starting at $240. And I'll tell you what, if you go and kind of wander around the showroom there, you're going to see amazing prices. And the quality on these beds is fantastic. They make them right there at the factory. They sell them directly to you. And the great thing about that is, you're saving a bunch of money right off the bat, and you're getting a custom-made mattress. And they're not going to try to sell you something that's more expensive than what you want to pay. They're going to ask you how you want to sleep, and then they're going to be honest with you and say, okay, this is the best bed for you. And you're going to try it out, and the people there are fantastic. They're great in the community, too. They do all kinds of charity work, and they're the kind of people you want to do business with because they're going to take care of you. They take care of the blitzers. They're going to put you on the right mattress. And they're out doing a lot of great things. Go by and visit them, 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. And say hello to Lax and Yuval, Rachel, and all the gang out there. And get yourself a better mattress at a great, great price from great people. That's Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price guaranteed.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.